from time to time, someone will say to me, Father, I don't need to go to confession because I have nothing to confess. I haven't killed anyone, I haven't committed adultery, I haven't robbed the bank. And I usually respond by saying, well, great, that's good news. But I would guess you still have sins to confess. Jesus has a very challenging answer to this false idea that you don't have anything to confess. Today's gospel from St. Matthew chapter 5, verses 17 to 37, is a section from our Lord's famous Sermon on the Mount, a sermon that Jesus gave on a beautiful mountain overlooking the Sea of Galilee. This section of the sermon is called the Six Antitheses. That's because Jesus begins each statement with, you have heard that it was said, da 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 da, but I say to you, da 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 da. Jesus first quotes part of the Old Testament law, and then, without abolishing the old law, he goes deeper and gives us a new law, a law of the heart. Here are the six antitheses. Verse 21, concerning murder and anger. Verse 27, concerning adultery and lust. Verse 31, concerning divorce and remarriage. Verse 33, concerning truth and lying. Verse 38, concerning retaliation. Verse 43, concerning love of our enemies. This week, we read the first of the four antitheses. Next week, we'll read the last two. It's clear that for Jesus, he's not only concerned about external actions, but also, more importantly, about internal attitudes. What's going on in your mind and your heart? Let's take a closer look at the first of the four antitheses. The first one is commandment number 5. You shall not kill. So you say, hey, I don't commit murder. And I say, great, that's good news. But Jesus says, are you angry with your brother? Oh. Oh, that's a different story. Do you hold your brother in contempt? Do you slander your brother and call him names? Do you call him Raka, which is Aramaic for you imbecile, you brainless idiot? That's not a compliment. You can see the tone here in Raka of arrogance and contempt. Jesus says that the sin of contempt is liable to a more severe judgment than the sin of anger. And calling your brother a fool, a moros, is even worse. Calling him a fool is not to criticize his mental ability, to say, well, you're not the sharpest knife in the drawer. Calling him a fool is to take his good name and his reputation from him and to call him an immoral person. A fool in the Bible is someone who refuses to honor and obey God. So you can see, we move from anger to contempt to making a moral judgment on the person. The second of the four antitheses is commandment 6, thou shalt not commit adultery. So you don't commit adultery, and I say, awesome, that's good news. But Jesus says, do you have lustful thoughts? Oh, that's a different story. Do you daydream about impure things and impure actions? Oh, that's a little tougher. Jesus says in the new covenant, even personal lust and interior thoughts of impurity are forbidden, even if the exterior act of adultery isn't committed. The third one is divorce, which is a corollary, interestingly enough, to both commandments 5 and 6. Do you know why Moses permitted divorce in the Old Testament? Jesus says in Matthew chapter 19, verse 8, that it was because of the hardness of their hearts. At the time of Moses, the people were saying, "Fine, Moses, you won't let me get divorced? Fine, I'll kill my wife so I can marry somebody else." So in order to prevent murder, Moses reluctantly allowed for divorce. He allowed for a lesser evil, divorce, to avoid a greater evil, murder. But it's clear from the biblical text that divorce falls short of God's will and plan for married couples. Take a look at the prophet Malachi chapter 2, verse 16. "For I hate divorce, says the God of Israel." Divorce leads to adultery and to murder. So, have I ever married someone who is divorced and not free to enter into the sacrament of marriage in the Catholic Church? Finally, oaths. This relates, obviously, to commandment number 8. Thou shalt not bear false witness. And at the time of Jesus, something very interesting was happening. The Jews said that if they swore an oath that took the name of God, that took an oath under the name, the holy name of God, the oath was absolutely binding. But the Jews said, if you swore an oath by heaven or by earth or by Jerusalem or by your head, then you could break the oath and it wasn't binding. And Jesus says, "Oh, come on, you guys. It's just really the same thing. You swear by heaven or by earth or by Jerusalem, it's the same thing as swearing by the holy name of God. Come on, you guys." These guys were trying to get out of telling the truth. They were like little grade school girls who were like, "I have crosses behind my back so I can lie to you." Really? When do we take an oath? You take an oath in court. That probably hasn't happened. I took an oath when I became your pastor to uphold the teachings of the faith and to preach and teach all that the Holy Catholic Church teaches and proclaims to be revealed by God. You took an oath when you get married, right? An engaged man and woman have to swear an oath before they get married, testifying under oath that they are free to marry and that there are no roadblocks to the marriage. So that's about it. So these are the only times in my life I have to be truthful? If I'm not under a solemn oath, then I can lie? So you say, "Well, I've never lied under oath." Well, good, that's great, but what about when you're not under oath? God doesn't want people to be truthful with one another only when we're under oath. Do you lie to your spouse? Your parents? Your teachers, your coaches? Jesus says, why is it even necessary to take an oath? Be truthful all the time. Say yes if you mean yes, and no if you mean no. So it's clear by examining the four antitheses that Jesus doesn't come to abolish the law, but to bring it to fulfillment. He doesn't take away the laws about not committing murder or adultery or not lying. Of course, Jesus wants us not to murder, but he also wants us to avoid attitudes that would lead to murder, like anger and contempt. Of course, Jesus doesn't want us to commit adultery, but he wants us to avoid attitudes that would lead to adultery, like lust and impure thoughts. Of course, Jesus never wants us to bear false witness under oath, but he wants us to avoid all lying. Jesus expects more out of us. He's not only concerned about external actions, but more importantly, about internal attitudes. What's going on inside in your mind and in your heart? Jesus goes deeper into the heart. What's really in our heart? Are we loving or angry and judgmental? What's in our hearts and minds? Are we pure deep down or lustful? What's in our hearts? Deep down, are we truthful or deceptive? Well, I guess we do have sins to confess. I guess we do need to go to confession and experience the unconditional mercy and forgiveness of our loving God. The graces in the sacrament of penance not only forgive our sins, but help to purify the mind and the heart. The graces in the sacrament of penance help us to pray sincerely and humbly. Today's responsorial psalm, Psalm 19. It's a beautiful prayer. It's really helped me. I hope it helps you. Instruct me, O Lord, in the way of your statutes, that I may exactly observe them. Give me discernment, that I may observe your law and keep it with all my heart. You have commanded that your precepts be diligently kept. Oh, that I might be firm in the ways of keeping your statutes. Indeed, blessed are they who follow the law of the Lord.